6:01, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo, coming to Cal Expo, next Thursday through Sunday.
Expo.
The 19th through the 22nd. Get ready. Dave, Katie, and Nate on the drive, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jay Feely will join us today, former kicker for many teams, including the Arizona Cardinals, where he and his wife currently live.
Once you're a kicker, you're always a kicker.
That's a good point right there.
Well, and they have such long careers, too. He had a 14-year career, you know?
Long career.
Long.
Very long career. Family, very...
He's like a scratch golfer, too.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. If
5'10".
If you're going to have your kid be a football player, don't you think that's what you want to do?
Yeah, be a kicker.
Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Get him out there with a ball and just
Well, what's the Marquette King story? Like, when he got to college, they're like, dude, if you want to keep your scholarship, you ain't going to be a wide receiver. You better learn how to punt.
Worked out well for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, being an NFL kicker, that of positions you'd
want
your kid
punter.
To be. Punter. Yeah, but you get hit more as a punter,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but you get to lay hit.
Yeah.
Never works
you
out very well.
You and that
well,
body?
But,
no.
Oh, I'm an ankle biter, man. Come on. Last line of defense right here.
Now, I guess in baseball, it would be a pitcher. That's the one. Lefty, maybe.
So, well, it's funny you say that because, my mom always said it would. She hated when we pitched in, like, Little League in high school. Just absolutely hated it because it's all on you. Now, granted, like, I went full on Rick Ankiel later on in my high school years. So
couldn't throw a strike.
Oh, not at all, man. It was insane. Like, I once hit six batters in 2 1/3. And that's just, like, there's nothing worse than hearing you're getting the start that day and going to the bullpen and throwing about 5 balls and being like,
I don't have it.
How do you tell coach, I can't start today?
Then you start aiming.
Yep. And it's over.
Been there, done that. Doesn't work out. Pitching is so freaking mental.
I hit an umpire in warm-ups when he was standing by the first base dugout.
On purpose?
No.
Felt like hit the ball?
No, like it was that. Like he was at a flat-out 45-degree angle, and I'm so lost. Like,
atta babe.
I mean, I damn near skipped it. I was trying to throw a fastball, and I skipped it to the first base dugout and hit him in the ankle, and he just kind of turned like.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. He threw you out.
I think he wanted to.
Probably.
But he felt bad for me.
He's going to freak out batters a little bit, though. They just throw an outside curveball. Strike 3, bud.
That's the old wild thing right there, man. Step on that mound, first warm-up toss, fire it to the screen.
I guess
guys aren't digging in.
Basketball, you just go where you go. If you're tall, you're going to play down low. If you're short, odds are you're going to play.
I don't know.
Court.
I think
God makes
Kevin
that
Durant is
for
kind
you.
Of a good indication that that's changed a
well,
lot.
Well, I mean, there's exceptions, but I think those are exceptions.
The great thing about basketball is if you have a bad day, you can always play defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Like if you're not shooting, but if you're a pitcher and that's all you're supposed to do, you're screwed.
One job.
Chargers are leaving. Talk about that today.
Why would I say, I don't care?
I don't know. It's weird.
Nobody.
I don't know. Do they? I don't want to say nobody cares, do they? I mean, San Diego, there's probably some guy.
There are people. I mean, you read the Pro Football Talk comments.
Yeah.
A couple upset folks.
I would imagine. I mean, they've been down there since 60, whatever the hell,
55 years they've had the Chargers down there.
They're gonna market that they started in L.A., but they were there for like a year.
Was it only a year?
I think it was a year. Maybe two. I think it was a year.
Really, the most successful team that franchise ever had got their asses kicked in historic fashion by the Niners in the Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl appearance. One Super Bowl appearance. They're showing on TV right now because the water is back, the rain is back, and everyone's out by floods everywhere. In fact, our good friend Mark Dembski over at 40 put up a little Facebook video. About a 30-second video down the street from my house in West Roseville of Fittiment Road in Wallerga flooding a little bit, right? And there was like a ton of water at what was a park. He put it up there. It seriously was like a 20-second video where he's like, hey, look at all the water. Like 22,000 views.
Yeah.
And I use his, I use his house to steal parking because it's right across from my kid's school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said this before. I trade him like a bottle of booze once a month to be able to, so I don't have to. I don't have to sit there with soccer mom.
Yeah,
which
that's pretty great,
dude. Seriously, funny. that like, there's a lot of political stuff going on right now, and a lot of really important things. Russia and attorney general.
Oh, I was like at your school.
See, there's a lot of issues in this world that people are dealing with right now, and I get that, and I respect that. But if you want my vote. Okay, we need to start stepping up the rules when it comes to parking and driving in front of schools when school gets out. It wasn't yesterday. It was the day before. It was raining pretty hard. school is around the corner from my house, so I usually walk there, but I drove there in this case, go park in my buddy's driveway, go get the kids. So I would say a good, you come down the street, it's a pretty straight street, residential street, it's the back of the school, and I counted 12 cars that just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped in the middle of the street. Obviously, they had given instructions to their kids, hey, if it's raining, just look for me in the line. Mm-hmm. And then I see these kids not crossing the street with the crossing guard. They walk down the sidewalk to their parents' car, get in the car, and then their parents would try to kind of U-turn their way out of the line because they
can't go forward.
You can't. And so what I'm trying to do, imagine this, 12 cars in front of me, and the house I need to park at, the driveway, is about 12 cars in front of me on the left. So I have to try to get on the opposite side of the road to go park in the driveway, then walk from the driveway to the school and watch everybody glare at me like, what are you doing, bro? Well, sorry you don't have a friend that you bribe with booze to park in his driveway, but that's not my problem. But I don't understand what the thought process is with the parent. What are they thinking? What's going through their head when they're sitting there and flat, illegally stopping in the middle of the street? And I don't want to be that guy,
Exactly.
So can you hire a cop? I mean, honestly, could you like hire, say, hey, dude, check it out. You want to make your quota? Meet me here the next time it rains and just go up and down the line. Just slapping tickets on people's windshields one time. And part of me is split because that's kind of tattletale-y. But I also, I'm not going to be that guy either that, like, bangs on windows and intimidates soccer moms.
Yeah. Aren't there, like, strict rules with drop-off at schools?
Yes.
Like, you have to get in a line.
Yes.
And you can't, like, drop your kid off before you get to the front of the line.
Yes.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yes. They send home memos, emails. They have a big thing about it where the kids have to bring home a sheet of paper, a colored sheet of paper. It's like yellow or blue. You read it, you sign it, and then you send it back. Like every kid's parents has to sign the parking rules. Don't block the fire lane, all this stuff, at the beginning of every year. And then occasionally the principal will send home a little help. Hey, just a helpful reminder here, and some people forget. And I think the surrounding thing is
your principal voice.
It's hey, by the way, I shouldn't say this because – like my kid's teacher and a few others actually listen to the show. And thank you very much, guys, if you're listening. But the principal at my kid's school is smoking hot. It's weird. Like, no, I'm serious. She is.
What's the matter with you?
Because she's a principal. You don't think of principals as cute.
I know. Uncle Buck was on TV the other day, and the principal's got a big mole.
No, exactly. Historically, that's what you think. Nope, not the case. I say that only because I'm surprised.
And because you know your wife's not listening yet.
Oh, no, I think, no, no. This one's actually okay.
Danger.
My wife and I have actually had a conversation about this before. We have. We've gone to a thing, and she gets, like, my kid's recital or whatever, and principal get up and do her thing, and she's great, and we've known her for years, and she's obviously very smart and educated,
and blah, blah, blah. And I would teach them.
Okay. All right, everybody, you need to keep your seats. But she's, hey, what do you want from me? She's a smoking hot principal. Good for her. Yeah, I'm not going to begrudge her that. What's wrong with that? Can't say somebody's smoking hot.
Dude.
Matt with your little purple scarf.
Hey, in terms of the dread scale, I mean, I guess, like, Dave, if you got to pick your kids up every day, I mean, you don't have to deal with this particular thing.
How much do you dread that on a scale of 1 to 10?
No, Katie, when you're out driving in the afternoon, like, say you've got to go somewhere and you, like, surprise ambush with, oh crap, school's getting out, and I just showed up at the wrong time, getting stuck in traffic.
Right.
Like on the dread scale, that's a good nine and a half.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying like if you weren't picking kids up, you just happen to be driving next to a school and boom, there it is.
Yeah, or like you don't know the school is there and it's like 3 o'clock
and
you're trying to get home and it's just boom, you're like, oh no.
You have to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it
you're stuck.
It's this inherent laziness in people in general that just you just can't park down the street, can you? You just can't. Well, it's about as amazing. There's a gym, a 24-hour fitness, right next to the grocery store I go to, and I find myself laughing at the people that circle the parking lot seven times looking for a close parking spot to go to the gym. What is wrong with you? You're going to the gym. You can't park down there.
Sometimes people, like when I go to the gym, I park in certain areas just based on, they always have those signs like, we're not responsible if your car gets broken into, so on and so forth. Take your belongings. So I think sometimes people try to park close because they feel it's safer for their car.
I think the exceptions are at night, and I'm talking about the daytime here, especially if you're a female, you're going to the gym, you don't want to park a mile away and have to walk to
someone to take care of us.
Well, yeah, exactly. True, yeah. You don't want to walk a mile away to your freaking car by yourself. I understand that. I'm fine with that.
You ever try to walk to your car after leg day?
After leg day?
Leg day.
You ever tried to sit on the toilet after leg day? Good Lord.
We don't have to do that.
Good point right there.
Yes, you do.
Ever.
Yeah.
No, we don't have to. We choose to.
You stand up to poo?
I saw a poll the other day, by the way, and this is a horrible way to end the segment, but it's your fault. I saw a poll the other day, and it was fairly even, and it was when you are finished.
Yeah, standing or sitting. I get up on one wheel. I never understood standing.
I never even knew that was a thing.
Who
are these people?
I can tell you who it is, and it won't surprise you, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
I can give you an example
that you're going to. They're psychopaths. Let's put it that way.
People that stand to wipe.
Oh.
And it was like the poll had like 30,000 votes, and it was almost dead even. Yeah.
Stand a wipe.
Standing versus sitting. And there's so many like physical reasons why that's wrong.
Yeah.
But they still do it. And I agree with you, Nate.
Wow.
If you stand up to wipe, you're probably not a good person. Like there's something wrong with you. And I don't want to really know you. You scare me.
I know there's something wrong.
Well, yeah, there's a lot wrong with me. Nothing wrong with today's show, though.
No, I'm not talking about you.
Oh, well, there is, though. Yeah. We'll give you a rate. Let's see. There's a new NBA 3-on-3 league. I'm kind of excited about
it.
And Ice Cube's in charge of that sucker.
Is it an NBA 3-on-3
league? Well, you know, there's that. Jay Feely's going to join us at 7 o'clock. Former kicker. We'll talk about this weekend's playoff games. Scott Kaplan from down in San Diego at 8 o'clock. We'll talk the Chargers relocation. Up next, though, we'll talk Raiders relocation and the updates we have on what the hell they're going to do. Stick around. It's The Drive back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, that's Derek Carr. That's the Oakland Raiders. The point here is not to tease you, Oakland Raider fans, now that your season's over. It's to update you as to what's going on with the Raiders. The NFL met yesterday, and really, I think the top story of that is nothing. I mean,
nothing happened.
Whatever happened isn't really necessarily. There's still a lot of posturing and politicizing. You know, the actual vote's going to be, it looks like, in late March, barring another delay. Really, the top story was San Diego expected to announce Dean Spanos has reportedly called a staff meeting at 8 a.m. this morning to announce that the Chargers will be heading up I-5 to Los Angeles.
It's crazy because yesterday we reported that they had asked for the extension and were waiting until, you know, the deadline was Tuesday, and then they make the announcement yesterday afternoon that, well, at least it comes out that he's going to announce it to all of his employees this morning at 8 a.m. So I'm like, what changed?
It just goes to show, Nate, one thing I've taken from this whole NFL thing, and this goes back to last year. You remember, it was right around now, it was Carson. Carson was going to have, it was going to be Carson and the Rams and the Raiders, and that was done. Is that this is one, and no offense to any of the journalists, by the way, even though it sounds like I'm slamming them, this whole NFL relocation thing has been one of the most misreported things. And it just seems like any relocation. We saw this with Sacramento and Seattle. I don't trust anything that comes out till it's announced because it seems like at the spur of a moment, either decisions get changed behind the scenes or they were never decided the way it was reported in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the NFL owners in a nutshell, right? I mean, reporting on this type of stuff is futile. What's kind of interesting to me here is that there's still an idea that Dean Spanos is going to kind of kick the can down the road for a week or so, you know, even if he does tell his employees and try to see if there's any sort of crazy last-ditch efforts. And I just don't think that's going to happen. No. They're going to move to a 30,000-seat stadium for a year at least anyway. And the NFL it doesn't even care about one team in that L.A. market. They showed it with the Rams. And I don't know that it would change if the Rams were any better. And so now you're
– Well, and with them announcing that they're going to L.A., the Raiders are definitely not going to L.A.
You would think.
I do think that just solidifies a little bit more that Vegas is most likely happening.
Unless they put three teams in L.A.
Yeah, no.
That'd be awesome.
Put them all there.
Bill Plaschke, the L.A. Times, hit it out of the park with an article he put out either late last night or early this morning. I'm not sure. But on the whole Chargers move. We'll talk about that and more on the Raiders in the next segment. And then Scott Kaplan from San Diego, he's going to join us at 8 o'clock to give us more on what's going on down in San Diego.
That's DeMarcus Cousins taking the microphone out of my hands in the locker room post-game after the win over Detroit
Tuesday. For it either. That's really the big story.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How rude.
Just yanked it right out of your hands.
And it's one of those long mics that are about a foot and a half.
Right.
You know? So it was,
when will he stop attacking reporters? I mean, come on.
But apparently the debate is continuing over the DeMarcus Cousins contract extension, which we talked about yesterday, and Dave put out a poll on Twitter to kind of judge how the fans feel about it, and largely in favor of an extension, correct?
Yeah, I was really honest to God.
It's a $207 million four-year extension, apparently. Yeah. It'll add on the last year
five
of this
year
contract.
Plus next year. So a total of six. Yeah.
But it's there's the option.
He gets the option in fourth year, I was honest to God shocked. I thought it would be about even. I really did.
Really?
I thought it would be
it'd probably be skewed the other way if you polled people that didn't have Twitter.
That's a very good point.
That's what I wonder. We'll talk more about that, obviously, at 8 o'clock. But when you peruse the message, and I guess I'm kind of
7:30.
The spore here.
We're getting into it early.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. When you look at message boards, when I look at my Twitter feed, it's very much, at best, it's 50% in favor. And more like probably 60 to 70 against. Mm-hmm. But then I put out a poll like that. Last I checked, I had 1,100 responses, and I got to think some of those no's, too, are from people that follow me that are not Kings fans, are just being ding-dongs. It was 83%, 84%.
You said it yesterday, regardless of whether or not they're going to keep him or not, it's a good idea for them to extend him. Period.
I think so, but, you know,
I don't think there's really a debate here.
Yeah, I don't
there's
know.
A good
I don't
idea
either.
To extend him?
What? He's the asset. You lock him up.
Yeah.
That's the end of the story.
I think where the debate, and again, we'll do this at 7:30, but I think
it's on the no trade.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's the no trade. It's the no trade because that throws that all out the window.
Mm-hmm.
That throws that whole thing out the window. Now, all of a sudden, you have given him complete control of that entire situation. So it's worth having the debate. We'll do that again at 7:30. Finally.
Can we please talk about that reporter?
Seriously, what is his problem?
Is he 12? Is he like one of those fanboys?
Are you gonna talk to Michael?
Whatever.
Are you guys going to practice?
Okay, so anyway, that was
a question I'd ask.
What do you think about practice?
All right.
That was Allen Iverson speaking on, hey, he's going to join Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league. In case you're not in on this story yet, it's going to be an 8-team league featuring mostly, retired players. Also committed to play Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups, Steven Jackson. We get more Captain Jackson on life.
Wow.
Jason Williams and Mike Bibby.
Yeah, I was good. Yes.
How do you just
Rashard
bury
Lewis?
That?
I wasn't done. Jermaine O'Neal. Bonzi Wells.
Amazing.
I think it's funny that Allen Iverson is going to be a player coach.
Yes, of course he will.
How
about Kenyon Martin playing though, with especially with all the troubles he had growing up,
according
to George
Hall,
the fact that he's still able to step on a basketball court's amazing.
It's crazy.
I'm excited about this. I really am excited about this, and it might suck and be stupid. I don't care, but
it's got a 4-point shot.
It's got a 4-point shot. Here's the best move about this. It's half court.
Yes.
That's going to help.
That's
a
why
lot.
You can have these old guys out there playing. It's half court. I think Jason Williams probably the only one that could still probably go full court. Maybe Mike Bibby, too, though. He looks like he's in better shape now than when
I
he was
I don't know.
Playing.
Mike Bibby.
Is that mirror muscles, though?
Yeah. Kinda, we'll talk more about that
mirror
at 6:48.
Muscles.
We'll give you the rules
for the girls.
What constitutes halftime in a full game. And
when it starts.
Yeah, the potential for this whole thing, too, coming up before you know it. So, again, Jay Feely at 7 o'clock, 4 down territory, 7:17. Don't go away in 3 minutes. A Raiders update, and we'll talk about the San Diego situation. They are now going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. A whale's vagina. That's a fact. It's what it means. On the drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Jay Crowder booped John Wall, I think is the correct term. He booped him. Boop. Booped him on the nose. You can't do that. You can't boop a guy on the nose.
Better than fully arm-chucking assistant coaches on the sideline.
Like Grayson Allen?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Then John Wall slapped Jay Crowder, which was, that was.
Did he really?
He just reached over. It wasn't like a full, like 30s movie backhand, but he caught him with an open-handed left. What it looked like to me, and then it was on with Floyd Mayweather Jr. on the sideline, Isaiah Thomas's buddy, who immediately after the game, when Isaiah went over to greet him, and if you see the video, you'll know what I'm talking about. Floyd asked for Isaiah's jersey, and Isaiah takes the jersey off and gives it to him. But then when you see this video, and you'll see it today, Isaiah kind of gives it to him, like kind of stuffs it in his chest and like gives him the head nod and then walks away like Floyd was some kid who wanted his jersey. And when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I know I know they're friends, well, and he wasn't being super dismissive.
When you're a man and you're taking your clothes off for another man, don't you just kind of have to walk away?
I mean, hey, it's a jersey. Now Floyd's got an Isaiah Thomas game-worn jersey. That's a pretty cool piece of memorabilia.
Is he going to sleep in it? It's probably like a nightgown on him.
I'd wash it
He's
first.
He's like the only dude that makes Isaiah Thomas look huge.
I'm bothered by the fact that, like, Isaiah Thomas
is friends with him.
Like, that means there's got to be something else wrong with Isaiah Thomas, right? I mean, doesn't it? Like, and I don't mean like anything like, hey, if you hang out with a wife beater, you're a wife beater. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it's really difficult when you have someone that is so likable. Like, Isaiah Thomas is so rad, right? And he was a great king. He was good in the community. He's a fun player to watch. And then you find out something like that about someone, and it just makes you be like, really, man?
It's like a guilty by association.
Yeah. Like, what else? What else, man?
I think too often, though, we will blanket somebody based on belief, friend, associate. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Floyd. I honestly don't know. I'm sure Isaiah's
right,
been
know
asked
anything
before.
About the relationship, but, you know. Like,
Speaking of Floyd Mayweather.
It's like when someone has a bad political opinion that you're friend. Yes. And you're just like, God, really?
Yeah.
Or family?
Okay.
Right.
Whatever. Not
family.
You.
Family in my case.
Or whatever.
It happens.
I like that, though. A bad political opinion.
That's one that doesn't agree with my
you.
Good
exactly.
one.
It's a bad one. It's obviously bad. Here's Floyd Mayweather, by the way, talking about the Conor McGregor fight. Now, and we'll get to the Raiders and Chargers here in a second, but considering the fact that Floyd Mayweather, if my numbers are right, had a guaranteed $100 million to fight Manny Pacquiao, and by most reports cleared somewhere around $300 million for the fight in general. And I'm sure that $200 million wasn't all pay-per-view. But if Conor gets a split of the back end of the pay-per-view, and I'm pretty damn sure that pay-per-view would approach, if not eclipse, the Mayweather-Pacquiao pay-per-view, you're looking at $15 million guaranteed for Conor McGregor, and you're probably looking at another $75 to $85 million on top of that. You're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million for Conor McGregor to go in and probably last about 15 minutes tops with Floyd Mayweather Jr. I don't know why he wouldn't take that.
You really think that Conor's would lose?
Yes, I think it would be embarrassing. I think it would be
really?
Rousey-esque. Yes.
I just don't.
Because Conor and I think
you played basketball, like how you think you'd do on a golf course.
I'm fantastic.
All right. I mean, my point is he's playing a different sport.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. But I kind of feel like if it's going to happen, it has to happen both directions, right?
You know, MMA, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
So it's like if you're going to accept to box with Floyd, then Floyd's got to.
Floyd's not going to do that. That's
do
the thing.
A home and home thing.
And I'll
yeah.
say,
you know what I mean?
In Conor's defense, I'll say this. I think the fight would last less time if it was an MMA fight. I think Conor would beat Floyd in less time than Floyd would beat Conor in a boxing match. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a rip on Conor.
It's kind of funny if you think about it. Like, it'd be tougher, like, with Conor McGregor boxing, you're basically tying a hand behind his back, metaphorically.
Right.
Right?
Which Conor, would make you it
mean? Yeah.
Oh, you're
and,
tying
like, with boxing.
Yes.
So if you make Floyd Mayweather fight, like, you're not tying a, or like, you know, UFC, you're not tying a hand behind his back. It's like you're giving him extra arms,
he
which
fights
seems
with
like
a hand.
It would be cool.
He fights with
but
a hand behind his back. He's a mental just...
But it'd be difficult to, like, just grow two new arms and try to fight
exactly.
with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So it would be a mismatch either way. Here's my point, then we'll move on. Conor McGregor couldn't outbox Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz isn't a first ballot Hall of Fame all-time great boxer like Floyd Mayweather is, whether you agree or not or love his style or not. Floyd Mayweather is a very, very good boxer. So, yeah.
Yeah, he practices all the time on his wife.
There you go. See, there's Katie right there. Katie Christensen. I'm just saying. I'm trying to keep it sportsy. But there you go. The Chargers are moving to L.A. You like that segue? That was awesome. Hey, the Chargers are moving to L.A. Chargers are moving to L.A. Bill Plaschke, the L.A. Times. I strongly suggest you Google it, P-L-A-S-C-H-K-E. Read his article today, and it is being universally lauded by journalists and sportsy people alike, and for good reason. It's not prose. It's not Shakespeare, but his points are extremely valid. He's saying, as an L.A. guy, we don't even really like the Rams, but at least the Rams have a long history here. And we talked about this yesterday. The most popular football team in Los Angeles when it comes to the NFL is the Raiders, and it's not really that close. He says, and he's right, the Chargers will not even be the third most popular football team in L.A. Mm-mm. It will go Rams. It will go Raiders. And USC.
Oh, you're talking about just NFL. I mean,
no, I'm saying I threw in USC in there. I'm saying not just in that order either. I mean, you can make an argument USC.
I would put USC
is the most popular football team in Los Angeles.
They certainly had better attendance at the same building.
Yes, yes, they did. So you've got this issue where, first off, LA doesn't like a loser. And the Chargers are about as losy as it gets.
Other than the
but
Rams.
They're not more losy than the Rams, to use your terminology.
No, they're better off than the Rams. But you saw the Rams towards the end of the year especially. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared.
And but this all goes to the fact that NFL owners don't care if a single fan sits in their seats.
Nope.
Because they're making way more money. It doesn't matter. It's such a small percentage of their income. They don't care.
Well, and that's what's goofy about this is Dean Spanos is going to have to pay somewhere around the neighborhood of $650 million. Say $650 as a relocation fee. There was already $350 set aside for the stadium in itself. That's $1 billion for a $1.2-1.3 billion stadium. You feel like they could have made it work in San Diego, but he's going to go to L.A. And his rent at Kroenke's new stadium, $1 a year. So this is all about the L.A. market, merchandising, and television
good
rights.
Good riddance, you dummy. Good for San Diego. They're going to be fine.
I in my heart, I do want to say, listen, it's not like Sacramento because San Diego, there's other things to do. You know, it's Sandy freaking Ago. People go on vacation to San Diego. But there are hardcore Charger fans that are very sad today. So,
yes, that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. 8 o'clock, we'll have Scott Kaplan down in San Diego right around the exact time that Dean Spanos is supposed to have his meeting with his staff to allegedly announce that San Diego's moving. So we'll talk about him and get back to the Raiders stuff. Four down territory at 7:17. Coming up next, this new NBA 3-on-3 league, Ice Cube. Yesterday was a good day. Allen Iverson committed. Did you get that? Allen Iverson committed to playing. We'll have the rules and when this thing starts for you next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. 6:50. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th. Through the 22nd, Ice Cube has always fascinated me. Yes, coming from the mean streets of South Central Carmichael, I grew up and my rap choices were Too Short, N.W.A., Ice Cube, and the D.O.C. Now, there were others in there, but I wore
me
out.
Me too, man.
I wore those cassettes. Those are little things, kids, with a couple holes in them and some film-looking stuff and used to have to put a pen in there and turn the thing to get the tape back in. I wore them out. I've always been fascinated by Ice Cube. I've always thought he had a unique vocal style. I always thought he was just the coolest cat in the room at all times. You don't mess with him. He's not capable of BS. He is legit, real, all the words you want to say, came from nothing. He and Dr. Dre both built huge empires in different fashions from the trampoline of rap music. Ice Cube has also fascinated me too because one of the main foundations of his brand of who he is that he's not going to sell out. He is who he is. He's true to whatever. But of all the people in that are celebrities that are in pop culture, it always fascinated me the pass that Ice Cube gets, that nobody ever calls him out for being a sellout. And I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying
he can do a Pepsi ad.
I'm saying that, dude, Ice Cube went from I'm shooting people and I'm talking about all the stuff that I'm dealing with, telling the tales of his youth, right, to TBS, very funny. You know, or being the dad in the family movie. Like, Ice Cube has become
That's not being a sellout. That's using the money about talking about your stories to not have to be doing that anymore.
I completely agree. I 100 billion percent agree with you. But I'm surprised that the world in general, that you don't see, like, think pieces about Ice Cube saying, oh, really? Oh, yeah, you're from the hood and this and that and all that. And now you're driving an RV around the country. You're in a Disney movie.
You know why? Because all those people that would do that went through the exact same transformation on the same.
And I love it.
The same timeline.
I love what he does. I love I love what he has built. And now he has crossed into the sports world. And Ice, this isn't the first time Ice Cube's crossed into the sports world. He is a noted Raider fan, speaking of the Raiders. Die hard. In fact, in the Straight Outta Compton video, the thing that started it all, he's sporting his his Raider hat back when he had the long hair, and now he has teamed up with a partner and he is founding a 3-on-3 league. Allen Iverson, you heard from him earlier in the show, has signed on as a player and a coach. Chauncey Billups, as you mentioned, Nate, Rashard Lewis, Kenyon Martin, Gary Payton will be also a coach along with the Iceman George Gervin. And the setup is pretty interesting. The players will share revenues with the teams based on how they finish in the standings. I love that. Okay, number one. They'll be comprised, the teams will, of 5 players. Games will be played to 60 points. I love that.
Halftime. They receive 52% of that revenue.
Huh?
They receive 52%
which
of that
revenue.
Which is great. That is kind of awesome.
I like that halftime is the first team to reach 30. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
it's
you
kind of like a throwback to their original rules of basketball in a way, right? Because
is that how it went?
If you go back and read
it, they're not allowed to dribble. There's not even a backboard; like it's just a peach basket.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So you've got a 4-point shot, which is going to be a little bit deeper than the NBA 3-point line. Obviously, there'll be a draft combine in March. The draft will take place soon after.
That's what I was going to ask. Is like, is there going to be a yearly draft too? Or because that would be kind of
that I don't know. Okay. I and I have a feeling they're kind of like, well, let's see if we make it.
I think it is kind of that thing because games are going to be played June 24th and conclude on August 12th. They'll be played Saturday in different cities. Man. It's short, and all teams will play a game each Saturday. So every team will be in action.
It'll be a Saturday thing.
Yeah, it's a Saturday
during the summertime. And Ice Cube is hoping, he said at the press conference, that he hopes the games have a festive atmosphere, like the Final Four or the NBA All-Star Game with other events like
I think
Kid
it's more
Clinton.
Like the N1 tour.
That's what I was going to say. If we can get that going, I'm in.
To be eligible to play in the league, you have to have played professionally, so I'm out. Either in the NBA, D-League, or overseas, Katie. However you can play, I believe you are eligible.
Overseas.
I don't know that women are eligible.
I was going to say, I don't see anything about them not being eligible. Oh. You have to be 30 or over.
I've definitely got that locked down.
Sure. So here's my thing. I think this setup is fantastic. The concept is great. The execution with the rules and everything, awesome. So will people, beyond the initial curiosity factor of, hey, Jason Williams is playing. I watched that 3-on-3 league with Jason Williams and Mike Bibby last summer. I watched it, and you know what? It sucked. It sucked. It was bad. I didn't enjoy it at all. I watched it.
Did they play full court, though?
They did, and this is half court.
This is half court.
That's huge.
Yeah.
But I still wonder, you know, I'm going to put my foot in fire here. One of the things that I've heard come up most often about the WNBA is not the skill of the players, not that they're women, not this, not that.
Not
that
enough scoring. It's
not
boring,
fundamentals, not above the rim, not as flashy, blah, blah, blah. So to take that thought process, that you mentioned the N1 league. Well, N1, I mean, you've got that is as flashy as it gets. So are people,
and it is the complete opposite of fundamental.
Yes. So are people going to not at first they'll be curious. They'll get viewers. But are people throughout the summer going to watch Allen Iverson Is it going to be, wow, I'm into this? Or is it going to be, oh, my old broken down favorite player?
I haven't read anything, though, about any element of television in this.
Got to think there's going to be something.
Yeah, I mean, they're just announcing this. I'm sure it'll be picked up in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah, it's like ESPN will pay $50 million to and make $2 off airing it on one of their 90 channels.
Something.
Yeah, but the way that this sounds to me is it's kind of a labor of love. Like,
which is
Ice
great.
Cube mm-hmm. wants to do this. A lot of these guys love to play. The hardest thing about retiring is not playing anymore. But then when you do go and play, you can't play like you used to. So half court, 3-on-3, let's see how it goes.
From the text line, 44-11-40, MC Hammer took all the heat for Taco Bell, sellout, et cetera. Ice Cube did kid movies. 50
he
Cent does vitamin
water. He should
have
taken all the heat for those damn pants.
Well, MC Hammer, yeah. This guy's point is MC Hammer got a lot of the brunt for selling out, and it's a raw deal for MC Hammer. I agree.
Where is old Hammer these days?
Oakland. He's
probably working off debt. I don't know. I know he had some money.
Well, Ice Cube has managed to remain very successful.
Yes. We'll take a break. Jay Feely next. He's working the Texans-Patriots game on CBS this weekend, and we got to ask him, why the hell should we watch? Yeah. We'll have him on next on The Drive. That's 4 minutes from now. Sports 1140 KHTK.